This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, Cold War turncoat Kim Philby. Was he a conscientious defector, or did he just love to lie? But first, midterm elections will test whether the great national swell of patriotism that occurred last fall will materialize in more people casting votes. The 2000 election was one of the tightest in U.S. history, but only half of the people eligible to vote actually went to the polls. That's compared with 63% in 1960. During the 2000 campaign, the Joan Shorenstein Center on the Press, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard University has conducted over 80,000 interviews to try to find out why people choose not to vote. Thomas Patterson, who teaches there, has analyzed what they found in a book called The Vanishing Voter: Public Involvement in an Age of Uncertainty. He joins us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. And Mr. Patterson, thanks very much for being with us.
Scott, my pleasure. Thank you.
You've got a very memorable phrase in this book where you say that the juice has been squeezed out of elections. What do you mean exactly?
Well, I think elections have lost a lot of their excitement and novelty. We've somehow managed to create these campaigns that are just about as unappetizing and unrewarding as imaginable. Mm-hmm. They seem to go on forever. They highlight negative ads, attack journalism, and when we get to the end, we're not sure that our vote will count for much. If you look at the House elections this fall, there are about two dozen races that are closely competitive in 400 or more. We know who's going to win, and in many cases by 2-1.
Mm-hmm. I gather you think that negative campaigning is something that riles voters and makes them less inclined to vote.
Well, I think some degree of conflict actually is inviting. I mean, you have to have a little bit of conflict, I think, to bring people in. But, you know, when the daily appetite and the daily flow of messages are negative, and they're negative about small things as well as the larger things, you get a sense that candidates are mainly interested in fighting with each other. They're not really trying to address the larger issues in larger ways. And when we ask people essentially that question, 80% of Americans have that view of campaigns. And sadly, in some ways, negative advertising can work. It can move the vote. It doesn't move the voters, which I think is an entirely different question. So that, you know, on the margins, you can pick up votes with negative advertising. But in terms of people's appetite for election politics, a sense that there are good things going on there, I want to be a part of it, it works against that sentiment.
You suggest that one of the effects of almost half the eligible voters in the United States not voting is to overemphasize the representation that some people get in the election and obviously leave other groups underrepresented.
Well, when you shrink the electorate, and we've had this long-term decline in voter participation, it's not simply that kind of every group falls off in equal proportion. And the electorate, as it gets smaller, becomes less and less representative of the public as a whole. People with more extreme views who are more intense in their opinions are more likely to vote at all times. And the moderate voters tend to fall off. Mm-hmm. And particularly in this time period, we've had two substantial groups, at least in terms of size, that account disproportionately for the drop in voting, and that's young people. Nearly 50% of eligible adults under 30 voted in 1972. That was barely above 30% in 2000. And white working class Americans have dropped out, such that now when you look at the top fifth in terms of income, compare it with the bottom fifth in terms of income, the voting rate is twice as high at the top, and there's no other Western democracy that looks anything like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Patterson, there have been commentators who have had the audacity to suggest in recent years that there really is no correlation between high voter turnout and higher wisdom.
Well, that's actually an old argument, and I think it goes back even to the beginnings of our democracy and property qualifications as a basis for voting. I find more persuasive the argument that the larger the electorate, the more representative it's going to be of the public as a whole. And, you know, I think there's a long argument about what it means to be involved politically, to pay attention, to take some interest, to take the time on election day to vote. And I think what it does, it enlarges the vision of the citizen. It compels them to think not only about themselves, but to look at the candidates, think about what's good for the country, think about, you know, other interests and the like. I think you enlarge the citizenry if you have higher participation.
How would you put juice back into the electoral system?
Well, one of the things I would do, and this came out clearly in our interviews, I would find some way to shorten this process. You know, this long campaign is deadly. It wears out the citizenry. It taxes their attention. One of the things that we found in 2000 is that, you know, you can bring people into the campaign when something important is going on, like a New Hampshire primary or Super Tuesday or the conventions or the October debates. But when those events are not in play, you know, the electorate retreats to the sidelines. And as they go to the sidelines, it's not only that they take their interest with them, they begin to lose information. In February of 2000, voters had a better understanding, for example, of George Bush's position on gun control than they did in November. And that's in part because it's very difficult in a campaign that kind of runs in fits and starts, that invites you in and then says, go away, to simply hold everything that you had when you were in there until the next time that you're invited in. And I think campaigns and the Jacksonians who invented campaigns, you know, sort of had the idea that campaigns would build in intensity as you move toward Election Day. And we certainly do not have that kind of campaign today.
Mr. Patterson, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thomas Patterson, who teaches at the Joan Shorenstein Center on Press, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard, author of the new book, The Vanishing Voter, Public Involvement in an Age of Uncertainty.